Bonide Products.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. I'm Ron Wilson, and you are in the garden. And if you'd like to join us, love to have you. Here's our number, 749-5500. You can also hit #550 on that AT&T phone. Either way, you're going to wind up right here in our studios in Kenwood. Guess who's at the helm? Joe Strecker's in the house. He'll take your calls, get you lined up, then we'll do our best to help answer those guiding questions for you. Have a tip you want to share? Give us a buzz, 749-5500, here at 55 KRCD Talk Station. Our toll-free number, 800-823-8255. Good morning. I am Ron Wilson, your personal yard boy, talking about yarding. And if you're right now at home and it's maybe 39 degrees outside, a little frost on the pumpkin. Well, there's no pumpkins, but a little frost on your annuals or whatever. You better get up and hose them off before the sun comes up. But, you know, could be a little jealous because you could be where Joe and I are right now because it is a balmy 78, 79 degrees. No wind circulating, no nothing, because the air conditioning cooling units are out in the studios. Good morning, sir.
How you work this thing again?
Guess who is actually running the show today? He is back in the saddle again.
Yeah, we played paper, rock, scissors.
And you won, Joe. And you won. Say it. You won.
Sure, I won.
You get to stay instead of just coming in early. You get to stay the entire morning.
Hooray.
Oh, thanks a lot.
That was hooray. Yay.
Oh, okay. Woohoo.
Woohoo.
So are you enjoying the stickiness in there?
Your
forehead's getting about as shiny as mine, I think, right now.
Jeez, what the heck, man?
I don't know, but these rooms are sealed, hermetically sealed and tight to keep the sound in and to keep whatever air is in here in. And wow.
Yeah, I come back and what this is what I get.
Well, you know what? Now you do have some presents, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I think the other thing that's kind of hitting the face.
What?
Well, Rita's recipe, and you'll talk about this in a minute, the cinnamon roll pancakes.
Right.
You know, Dan always gets those.
Yeah.
She drops them off.
Yep.
Did you get any this morning?
Apparently, Dan
on vacation, and did Rita show up here?
Well, you notice that you never know if they're in the same place.
Oh.
Hmm.
But I didn't see you eating them.
Hmm. No. Guess whose car was in the parking lot when I came in this morning?
Whose?
Daniel's.
Hmm.
Guess who came to pick up the pancakes?
Hmm. I thought he was on vacation.
That's what he says.
Interesting. So the pancakes, when Dan's on vacation, don't even make it to the studios.
No, nope, nope. Rita was waiting for him in the parking lot.
Wow.
Dropped it off.
Guess Rita told us, huh?
Give everyone a wave goodbye and goodbye.
Nice.
No
well,
pancakes.
It's fun having you here this morning.
Yeah, it's
kind of unusual.
Fun so far.
Well, usually you're sitting next to me, but it's fun to look across and see you on the other side of the glass.
Well, it's trying to get back in the saddle.
You do it every day during the week. It's no big deal for you.
It's different, though.
It's a little different, but it's
remembering stuff.
It's still you.
And things.
But if I fall over, all of a sudden disappear, you just keep talking.
Okay.
Or if you fall over, I don't know what we're going to do because I have
no
idea.
If you fall over, then
I don't know how to control the boards.
You know, call the guy at the studio next door.
Wow. Anyway, it's time for the Cup of Joe. Mr. Joe Strecker, our executive producer. Find out what's going on our website at ronwilsononline.com, Facebook page in the garden with Ron Wilson. Of course, his wife's lawn and landscape, although I think we're not going to talk about lawn and landscape today after I found out what he did yesterday when he was off. And anything else Joe wants to talk about?
Well, we mowed a couple times.
You've mowed a couple times this week.
This week.
Yeah.
And
lawns are growing like crazy.
The lawn is growing like crazy, and it's now to the point where it's you go about a pass and a half, and you got to raise the lawnmower because it's so thick.
Yep. Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it's also an annoying thing as well.
I watched some lady. I was driving down the street the other day, and I forget where I was, what neighborhood, but she was doing the old two-step.
Two-step.
Two-step lawnmower, cough out.
Yeah.
And then she'd shake the lawnmower. She was doing this to get the grass to come out of the bottom. And then two steps, and then she'd go like that and shake the lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to stop the truck and get out and say, come on. If you just raise it up, just take it to the top.
Well, it's raised all the way at the top, trust me.
Well, yeah, what hers wasn't. She was scalping it off at about 2 inches. And I was just like, you know, if you just do that and mow it and come back and mow it tomorrow or the next day again or something. But don't do two steps, shake the mower. Two steps, shake the mower.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
Inexperienced lawnmower.
I don't know about that. I think she's been done that before. Yeah. I see it all the time. You know that. I've always talked about that for 20 years, how that frustrates the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. Once we want to get out of the truck and say, stop it!
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we did in the lawn and landscape this week. It was just some lots and lots of lawn mowing.
So do you do any home improvement while you're off like that?
Yeah, you know, when I take a day off of work, instead of actually relaxing and taking a day off of work, it's usually catch up on the honey-do list. And yesterday we took up the carpet in the bedroom, and it was, oh my goodness. It was
Did you find any surprises?
I found out that I need a respirator next time I do something like that.
How long did that take you?
12 hours.
You actually finished the floors, sanded it, and did everything.
We did everything. We started early in the morning. Well, not really early in the morning, but we started in the morning and just worked on it all day. Me and her.
And
took the old carpet
How many
out.
Bottles of wine did that take?
None, because we wanted to get it done.
Ugh.
But when you here's a fun fact and a fun tip. When you're taking up carpet, taking up the carpet is the easiest part of the job. Actually ripping the carpet out. That took 5 minutes.
Right.
It's the finding all the fun stuff underneath.
Oh, those little staple things, man, they rip you apart.
Yeah. Yeah, the staples.
And then the surprises.
And the surprises. I mean,
yeah.
The carpet's been in there since the house was made in 62, and that's the original carpet. So imagine all the fun stuff that we found underneath there in a, what is it? I'm trying to do the math in my head. What, 60-year-old house?
As Mr. Sullivan used to say, or still does, carpet doesn't wear out, it uglies out.
Oh, trust me, that was ugly.
It was ugly.
Yeah, we found out.
I wonder who drooled up. Wonder what that spot, who, what is, yeah.
Well, we found out there is a beautiful floor underneath that was just ruined by cats.
Hmm.
The previous owner, because we're only the second owner of the house, previous owner had 5 or 6 cats.
And that was their favorite room, it sounds like.
When we took the carpet up in the living room a long time ago, that was the other fun place that they liked to go. But, yeah, we found out that apparently in the master bedroom was the other litter box.
Wow.
Yeah. So about, you know, there's at least a third of the room was just dark, just ruined wood. So whatever. Well, we just put our bed over it. No one's going to see it.
There you go. So it's all finished, stained, done.
Yeah, we did everything.
Good.
We took it up. We refinished it.
Then you went to bed at 11 o'clock last night.
Yep,
got up early to come and do the show this morning.
It wasn't the smartest.
So you may not fall over because of the heat in here right now. It could be because you just fall asleep.
Probably.
Keep pumping that coffee.
In about a couple hours, if I'm not answering the phones, just like nudge me or something.
I'll say something to you.
All right.
Let's see, what else? I was going to ask you something. I forget what it is. Oh, we'll think about it. So what's going on?
So I'd like to thank the person that decided to bring this to me.
Teresa Parker.
That's amazing.
I kept forgetting to bring it in. I've had it in my office for a month.
I know, and it's half gone.
No, it's not. It is not, Teresa. I did not open it.
It's a third gone.
Since I put it in there.
Yeah. Well, it was a long day yesterday. Yes, thank you, Teresa, because I talked about the St. Elmo's homemade cherry. Was it cherry bourbon?
I don't know what it was called, but
whatever it was.
Famous restaurant in Indianapolis.
Yeah, the famous steakhouse bourbon whiskey.
So now she wants to compare that, which is theirs, to her homemade.
Now, she even supplied cherries as well. And these are really, really good and expensive cherries. Mm-hmm. These might not even make it out of the studio today.
We have to use them with your...
I don't know. These are really, really yummy. I may guys have to get a spoon later. If I could find a spoon around here.
But they do go hand in hand, so don't...
Forget the spoon. I'm just going to just down it.
I was going to say, it's yours, so you don't have to be nice about it.
True. That's true.
Have at it.
So, yeah, that was really thoughtful.
She gave us some hollow chocolate Easter bunnies so we could do some Sullys.
Yeah. Yeah, I can
get a few things like that. So
I'll make a prediction right now.
What's that?
I bet hers is better.
Well,
but I'm going to have to try it.
I'll make a second prediction. We're going to find out.
We will. Find out.
All right, let's take a quick break, right?
Okay.
Let's take a break. We come back to Cup 2 of the Cup of Joe here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the Garden with Ron Wilson. Time for Cup 2 of the Cup of Joe. Mr. Joe Strecker, our executive producer and producer today. He is in the house running the show. So if you get a chance to call in, say hello, Joe, because it's been a while since you've been doing this.
Usually I don't have two cups but in the morning because
no.
It's a little jittery, but we'll do it today.
Yeah, so we like it. So let's get serious now. Let's talk about that website at ronwilsononline.com.
Well, first we do guests. So who's the guest today?
Oh, yeah, the guests. Ron Roth is coming up next.
Oh, he's taking my time, huh?
He's taking your time. He's coming up next. He's going to talk about the weather. Kind of a one last look at, are we done with the frost or not? And he's going to give us an update there. I just looked. He sent me a picture of his temperature gauge. It's 5 degrees cooler at his house than it is here.
Wow.
And I don't. It's been like that every time he sends me stuff in the morning. So we'll talk to Ron about that.
Okay.
Rita Heikenfeld coming up at the top of the hour. It's International Herb Week. And so we'll talk with Rita, obviously, about herbs and Mother's Day weekend, et cetera, et cetera.
And why she dropped the pancakes off early at 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, how did she get those pancakes to Dan and why you didn't get those? I guess we'll find out about that. And then Monica Brubaker with us this morning. We'll find out about some herbs. We've got some controversial things going on the Internet about feeding your hummingbirds. What's the real truth? Monica knows, and she'll share that with us this morning as well. Then, of course, Gary Sullivan and Buggy Joe Boggs. Yeah. And, of course, you through the entire
Buggy
show.
Buggy Joe Boggs.
Buggy Joe Boggs.
Who's that guy? That's Buggy really weird Joe talking Boggs. To him. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you get to call him and wake him up.
Get to call him and
remind him it's time for the Buggy Joe Boggs report.
Yeah, kick the bed a little bit. So the website this week,
RonWilsonOnline.com,
is filled with a whole bunch of Buggy Joe stuff.
It is.
So I got a question. What is the third thing there listed right next to Rita's pancakes?
I
couldn't even pronounce that.
Extra floral nectaries. See those little things, those little knots at the bottom of the leaf?
Mm-hmm.
They put out nectar. They do it on purpose to attract other insects to help protect the plant during its very vulnerable times.
Is it kind of like one of the plants that...
That's like a cherry. Oh. There's a bunch of trees that do that. But they put that out early, and then the ants come and protect their territory. I thought it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, you see those for years and use it part of an ID to identify what that plant was. Had no idea what they did. And Joe even admitted he had no idea what they did at one time until he found out. And they're called extra floral nectaries.
So does it like lure things there?
The good bugs.
The good bugs to protect it.
To protect it from the bad bugs.
I thought it was like a Venus flytrap.
No, to get them to come to the plant and then they hang around and then they protect their territory. From the
so
bad
another
stuff.
Bad thing is when they hey stay away.
They say you can't have this as my plant.
No, neat.
Yeah, we had no idea what that was, now we know.
Oh, speaking of that, kind of a little sidebar. The other week I was watching something. I just flipped through the channels and found this show on I think it was Nat Geo, and they were showing this desert. I think it was somewhere in the country of Oman or whatever. Okay, and there's this bush out there. It only blooms a week a year out of the year because it's so hot out there and so dry.
Mm-hmm.
It gets whatever rainy season it is. It gets enough rain for it to bloom for the 1 week. And the deer-like stuff that they have out there, I'm not sure what it was called. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They come and they feed off this thing because it's like the only green stuff in the desert. Well, when one of these things starts eating it, it sets off like a pheromone or something to the other bushes to let them know, hey, something's here to eat us.
Right.
And there's thorns that come up that like you see them, they're like down, and then they'll come up.
So, really?
Yeah.
So the other plants.
So the one plant's like, hey, someone's eating me, so put your thorns up. and they don't touch. Away these. These things stay alive and stay keep going. It was really neat.
Because like, they only have the 1 week to do their thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I was like, whoa, that is.
That is pretty cool.
The fact that the plant do that is just amazing.
Now, you know Buggy Joe does not know about that plant.
No.
But he'll make something up.
I forget what it was called. I should have taken better notes, but it was like a Saturday and a couple weeks ago and doing other things. But
that's cool.
So, anyway, yeah, that kind of brings me to that. So
yeah.
So, Rita's cinnamon roll pancakes, which I didn't have a bite of.
But they sure look good.
They sure do look yummy. They're on the website, so if you want to take that. recipe down. And the plant of the week is a really cool plant of the week.
Love it. It's brand new.
Brand spanking new.
We grew them last fall for the first time, and now it's being released officially this spring. It's a new knockout. If you're moaning and groaning because there's too many knockouts, don't moan and groan because this is a great one. It's called Petite. Meet Petite. And it's actually a miniature knockout rose. Great flower. It's a hybrid between a miniature rose and the red knockout. It's a double flower, so it's beautiful show. Great, good, solid red. Joe's got one. One of the few people around that's got one. Mm-hmm. And it stays like knee high. That's it. So, you know, you grow it in a container, grow it in the ground either way. But it stays very small, very tight, compact, great foliage, disease resistant, has all the great qualities of knockout roses in a dwarf. But it's called Petite Knockout.
Very cool.
And it's a really nice one. And you talk about a great Mother's Day present in a container or in the ground. That's one right there if your local garden center has it. Petite Knockout. Check it out.
So did you get your mom her usual?
Her dragon wing begonia? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Her hanging basket. But I haven't done any of the other planters yet because...
Because you've been so busy.
Well, besides that.
Because the frost.
Because of the frost. Exactly.
That's what you're talking about. Ron coming up next, right?
Yep.
So
anything else?
Well, we were gonna bring our strawberries in, but it was like 11 o'clock, and we forgot about the frost thing, so they'll make it. I mean, it's only 39, so they should make it.
Oh, yeah. The frost is more in the outlying areas, although in Cheviot, where Ron lives, he showed me frost the other morning, where we were still at 39, and he was 34.9.
So, cicada tunnels yet?
Yeah, they're seeing them everywhere. But again, cooler temperatures holding them back because the soil temperatures are staying cold.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still in the mid to upper 50s of soil temps. But I would say in 10 days, you and I are going to be talking about cicadas big time.
Yeah, and we'll get some use out of the cicada.
I can't wait to see the picture of your wife walking around with her walking pod.
That's going to be funny.
It's going to be. I can't wait to see it. I was telling somebody about it the other day at the store.
What was really funny was you sent me the link to that at the same, almost, I'm not kidding. It was like to each other. And then like literally 10, 15 seconds later, my wife sent it. And I was like, oh, this is a hint.
You really?
So I went and.
There you go.
There it is.
I can't wait to see it.
Yep.
All right. Joe Strecker, our executive producer. If you like what you see on our website, RonWilsonOnline.com, you had everything to do with it. If you don't like what you see,
it's Daniel's fault. That's why he took off.
That's why he took vacation. 800-823-8255. Coming up next, Ron Rothas here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson, and as I promised, it's time for Weather. It's the Weather, starring the true seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators. The Weather Channel idolizes him. He's the man who inspired the saying, trees are good. He is amateur meteorologist, ISA board certified, master arborist, and hobby meteorologist. The Arbor Doctor himself, website arbordoctor.com/weather. For weather, Mr. Ron Rothas, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I think your thermometer, your gauge is stuck at 34.9 at your house.
It's actually at 33.8 right now.
I think something's wrong with it. Every time you send me that, it's 39 at mine.
Well, mine is actually National Weather Service equipment since I'm a co-op observer. So
I don't care. I think
accurate.
It's stuck.
But plus the fact, and this is actually kind of important for your listeners, is just to know that you can have, you know, that's one of the reasons they issue frost advisories on some of these mornings. You get pockets of colder air, and those pockets are generally outside the main part of the city, and in lower spots. And my yard is a little bit lower than some of the surrounding areas. So cold air is heavier than warm air, and it'll kind of settle into those pockets. So it could be 40 or even 45 degrees in the city, and you could have frost out in the suburban areas and especially out in the rural areas.
Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from here with your temperatures is the fact that that is true. And so, if you see the general reading, it says we got a frost advisory. It looks like 39 tonight. You don't take a chance, depending on, especially if you live further out away from the city, or even with your case, you're even closer in, but yet you've still got that lower area, those pocketed areas. You know it cools down a little bit more. So they say 39, you should have your eyes open and be watching for watching for possible frost, because it could happen.
And there are times in the summertime when I'll be in the neighborhood that I used to live in, which is inside the city limits, and I'll drive out to where I am now, which is, further out. And I'll watch the car thermometer, 10 o'clock at night, drop 5 degrees from the time I go from, where I used to live to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's definitely, there's an influence. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The airport in Cincinnati is actually in northern Kentucky. It's southwest of the city. And when there's a northeasterly breeze on a cold, cold morning, very often the National Weather Service over there or their thermometer at the airport will be several degrees warmer than say I am, because that northeasterly breeze will be coming straight across downtown in the main part of the city, and you have that urban heat island effect with warm air radiating out into the atmosphere. Whereas where I live, it's not coming across the main part of the city, and I'll be colder. So it's kind of interesting to see how the city and all the pavement and the retained heat affects things.
That's another reason why we're planting more trees.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's hotter in cities. And, we should be planting trees. But, the other thing, and I'm kind of on this crusade right now, we can plant all the trees we want. But, I just went by a lot really right around the corner from your station the other day, where I guess they're going to put in some sort of a big commercial building, and they've cleared, a couple acres of trees, and they're, cut down trees all over the place. And these are pretty good-sized trees, just laying in stacks and things like that. And I'm thinking, if you plant a tree, it has maybe, 20 or 30, even 40 leaves on it, and you look at a mature oak tree that has, tens of thousands of leaves on it,
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot, hundreds of those seedlings to equal the environmental benefits, the carbon sequestration, the cooling effect of that one large tree.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're planting trees, little trees, seedlings, but we're cutting big trees down, at the rate that we seem to like to cut them down, we still have a net loss.
Right.
And, I'm all for planting trees. I'm 100%. The only way we're ever going to get a big tree is to plant a small tree. But we need to really be more focused on preserving trees.
Right. I'm with you 100%, but it's much easier to clear that lot off than to try to work around some of the larger trees and save them.
Oh yeah, sometimes you have to, but on the other hand,
well, I was kind of being facetious, because sometimes you do have to, but then
right.
there's other times where it's just like, it's easier if we just take them all down.
Oh yeah, and I'm I've been called on consulting jobs on a number of cases where one case about a year ago where they were doing a building and expansion project at a local area, and one of the neighbors really wanted to save these three gorgeous oak trees that were on the property. But I mean, the architect that designed the building to go closer to these oak trees, and there just wasn't any yielding to anything. And they ended up cutting down these three huge gorgeous oak trees. And I tried to convince, tried to present some alternatives, but it was just, it took some effort, and nobody was interested except for, some of the neighbors. But, we really have to start thinking about those older trees and designing, maybe even changing designs a little bit in order to preserve them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they add so much to the property value and to the overall climate attractiveness of the area. I know Scott Beierlein is on your show fairly often. He has a photo that he likes to show at his presentations of two adjoining streets in his area.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the one, and it looks like it's an okay neighborhood. I don't know if I want to live there or not. I mean, it's, the houses are okay, but, you know, there's no trees. And the other picture is this gorgeous tree-lined street with, you know, oak trees meeting over the middle of the street, and it just looks like, you know, a higher-end neighborhood that, you know, just really, really attractive. And then, you know, he points out that these are two adjoining streets. The houses are basically the same. You know, the same style, you know,
right.
There's no real difference in the houses. The difference is those trees along the street. And it changes your whole mood. It changes your whole perception of the neighborhood.
Yep.
When you look at those two pictures. And I think a lot of people miss that. They say, oh, I have to rake leaves and all mm-hmm. this. And, I mean, okay, you might have a few more things to do, although, quite honestly, I haven't raked leaves in a couple decades. I mean, I mulch them up back into the grass, which is actually better for the grass and better for the trees. And
right.
I don't, you know, so we actually make work for ourselves or convince ourselves we have to do more work than we have to. It's kind of like the lady you were talking about who was mowing her grass too short. It's like I mow mine at the very highest setting, and it's been very high a few times, and I haven't been able to get to it a few times. And I've yet to have a point where the mower's bogged down.
Right.
I have a 6-horsepower Toro, and I mean it goes through it no matter, you know. So and I'm not getting big clumps all over the place because I'm mowing in like 4+ inches.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So don't make so much work for yourself. It's like Gary Sullivan says. It's all about easy.
Yes, yes, he does. Talking with Ron Rothes, the Arbor Doctor. Of course, his website is arbordoctor.com/weather. Let's take a quick break. We come back. I want to know what the weather's going to be here. Are we done with the frost or not? I want to know. You want to know. Let's find out when we come back here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Don't forget our website, ronwilsononline.com. Talking with Ron Rothes this morning, the Arbor Doc. His website, arbordoctor.com/weather, because we always go to him for our weather predictions all across the country. He's very, very good at it, by the way. Now we want to know, Ron, we're there, we're, you know, our Mother Day's weekend, the unofficial kickoff for frost-free, all that kind of stuff. Planting dates, of course, temperatures look pretty cool even through next week. Even nighttime, although nighttime temps look like they're coming up a little bit. So what say you on these frost-free dates? Are we getting close to that at all?
I think we are getting close to it. Of course, it's totally white outside my window right now, but that has more to do with the absolutely gorgeous winter king hawthorn in full bloom than it does frost. But that's another point.
Boy, those things are really put on a nice show this spring.
I can barely see the leaves. There's so many flowers on mine.
Yeah,
those are spectacular.
You look around right now, if you see something in white, kind of a oval shape, yeah, kind of flat oval shape, it's probably the hawthorns, and it's gorgeous.
But I digress. From a standpoint of cold and things, what you're seeing on your forecast, what you just mentioned about it, you know, still looking cool this week, is correct. I won't even rule out, you know, a little bit of light frost. There's certainly nothing, you know, at least in the Ohio Valley, that looks like, you know, a deep freeze or anything like that. If you remember last year on Saturday, Mother's Day weekend, we had 26 to 28 degrees in Cincinnati.
Why, yes, we did.
It was awful last year for Japanese maples and a lot of other trees. So nothing like that. And it looks like once we get past this week, it starts to warm up. In fact, the 8 to 14 day outlook is for much more widespread, warmer temperatures moving up into the center of the country and even up into the Great Lakes and Ohio Valley. Warmer, not much above normal, but still warmer. And as we go past that, it really looks like we're we're pretty well done with the frosty weather or things like that. So I'd be a little careful, you know, this week.
Right.
But after that, I think we're in pretty good shape. The other, you know, good things, I finally came with the good news this morning, is that there's been a lot of rain in the past week in the Ohio Valley and even up into northern Ohio where they've been in drought. So they put a dent in that drought. Not solved it, but put a dent in it. There's heavy rain in the forecast for tomorrow, but even that area heavy rain is pushed further north than originally thought. So central and northern Ohio up into those areas could get a decent soaking again tomorrow. So we haven't solved the drought problems. The Great Lakes, New England still have a lot of drought issues, but certainly some of those dry areas have gotten a lot of relief in the past week, and Cincinnati area is actually kind of, you know, drowning right now. It's so wet. We're going to get another inch tomorrow. But as we look, you know, further ahead into summer, it's looking hot in a good part of the country, but there's a couple weaknesses to that. It looks like parts of the Great Lakes, upper Mississippi Valley could, you know, not be, you know, too extreme, and same thing with the Pacific Northwest. So, and there's precipitation chances look a little bit better for the eastern United States than maybe they did a month ago. So I'm not saying that we're not going to have drought problems and things like that, and some of that enhanced precipitation may be from tropical systems, but it's not looking as bad in the eastern United States as maybe it did a month ago from the standpoint of drought. It certainly looks like it's going to be hot in the south and parts of the East Coast. And even the Ohio Valley looks like it's going to be pretty hot at times,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not quite as extreme as it looked like a month ago. And, you know, precipitation chances are good news if that pans out.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, one of the things about the cooler weather, and, of course, the soil temperatures have stayed cooler longer, is holding back those cicadas a little bit, which I know you're looking forward to.
Yeah, they taste like shrimp. You know, if you can't beat them, eat them.
I thought it tasted more like asparagus.
Well, it depends. I microwaved them and then had them with cocktail sauce. So to me, they tasted like shrimp. So I don't know.
Shrimp's just a carrying agent for the cocktail sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
So the cicadas would be the same way.
Right.
Yeah, got it. Ron Roth, it's always a pleasure. Great information. So Ron's saying after this week, nighttime temps are starting to come up. Daytime temps, that brings the soil temps up. Get out there after this week, maybe starting next weekend, and get that vegetable garden planted. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I mean, the cool season vegetables can.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about whatever, tomatoes and peppers.
Yeah, yeah.
You heard it from him right here. His website, arbordoctor.com/weather. Always a pleasure, my man.
Have a great weekend, and all the mothers have a great Mother's Day weekend.
Happy Mother's Day. All right, Ron Roth, it's always a pleasure talking to him. 800-823-8255. Back to the gardening phone lines we shall go. Hey, Scott in Cincinnati, good morning.
Ron, how are you today, sir?
I'm great, and yourself?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Question for you. So on my bee balm, the last few years I've had the powdery mildew kick in, probably June, July. And I know you've talked about it before that it's you really need to get on it. You need to use a preventative to kind of keep that from coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I cleaned out everything in the fall, and I cleaned it out all again this spring, so I'm feeling pretty good about that part of it. But what's the product, and what's the when and the where and what to put on that?
You know, bee balm is not one of Joe Strecker, our producer's favorite plants, because it I gave him one several years ago, and it kind of took over the area. He didn't like that too much. I kind of like that aspect about it. But you're right.
Yep.
It can get powdery mildew, and everything you've done so far is great. Keeping it as airy as you can is great. Preventing overhead watering is great. You can't stop the rain, but all that really does help to cut down on powdery mildew. It is a weather-affected leaf disease, but, you know, again, you can't do anything about the weather. Fungicides, as far as what you can use, if you want to stay all natural, you know, copper fungicides and sulfur do work against powdery mildew. So those are out there for you if you want to, you know, keep that all-natural use as far as sprays in the garden. If you're going to go synthetics, Bonite's Funganil will cover it. Manco Zeb covers it. Captan covers it. Infuse by Bonide, which is a contact and a systemic, will cover it as well. And you're right. The thing about powdery mildew or any of the diseases, the fungicide is a preventer. So you want to get on it to prevent it from happening on the plant. So, you know, you spray, as you're saying, early in the season, carry it into the summer. hopefully get to a point where you can kind of start to back off and not see it. Now, the thing about powdery mildew on like perennials, if you really monitor it, Scott, and watch and watch, and then all of a sudden, if you see it just starting to show, you can get on one of those fungicides that say you haven't been spraying up to that point and get it into check. So you're not going to cure it for the leaves that already have it, but you can protect the leaves that don't have it and the new growth that continues to come out. So if you monitor it, you know, on a regular basis, you can do it that way and get it into check before it really takes over the whole plant. So, you know, you can do it every 10-day, two-week spray to kind of protect it all the way through. That's kind of up to you. But you'll find it, a lot of those fungicides cover, but all natural, if you want to go that way, copper and sulfur both have it.
Okay, and if I just show up at Nate Torps or Sharon Nursery or whatever to say, hey, I want a preventative for that, they'll put me in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, they'll put you in the right direction.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. Always always a pleasure, and always enjoy the show.
Thanks, Scott. Good talking to you, and happy Mother's Day weekend. It is Mother's Day weekend, by the way. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day to my mom and Joe Strecker's mom and everybody's mom out there and all the moms. So it's a great weekend, and be sure you get out and get something from mom. I'll tell you what, something from the garden or for the garden, you can't beat it. Moms love it, and then you get out to the local garden centers if you haven't done it already. I saw a lot of folks this week actually buying for mom with the kids, like the dad and a couple kids or whatever, getting a pot that they think mom would like and then planting it themselves. Going around collecting up some annuals, doing some herb planters. If mom's into cocktails, doing some cocktail herbs that you might want to put in the planter. You know, our plant of the week this week is Petite Knockout Rose, that little dwarf knockout rose. Absolutely gorgeous, little nice compact rose, disease resistant. It is in the knockout family, so it's easy to take care of. Something like that you could actually plant in the ground for mom by the patio or whatever that she can wash, or in a container. But anything like that in containers, absolutely mom loves those. And guess what? Those are going to keep flowering, and she can, like the herbs and that, can harvest from them all summer long. A vegetable garden, you know, for my mom, and you know this, every year I get her the dragon wing begonia hanging basket. You can't beat those things. I mean, I get her the red one, big green leaves, glossy, you can put it sun or shade. You don't take care of it, it just does its own thing. You water it, that's about all you have to do. Been doing those forever, and she loves it. She looks forward to it. But we also take her patio and turn it into a little garden. We've got two or three planters, and we have some perennials and annuals combos, some tropical plants in there. And then we come back and do some containers for her with her favorite cherry tomatoes, maybe a pepper or two here and there that she can harvest from right on the patio. So when she walks out, she sees all this great color. And guess what? Within those containers, you can put a few pollinator plants or all pollinator plants. So not only does she get the great look, but you see the bees and the butterflies and the pollinators coming in and out as well. So many great plants for mom. It's phenomenal. So, you know, if you haven't done anything yet, grab the kids and get out to the local garden centers, grab a container, and create your own container for mom. I think it's a great way to go. Hanging baskets, the petite rose, whatever it may be. But get out to your garden centers. Moms love things for and from the garden. Ain't no doubt about it. Now we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Speaking of herb planters and herbs, it is International Herb Week this week. So you know what that means. It's time for Rita Heikenfeld. We'll talk with Rita coming up in the next hour. And Monica Brubaker. Lots of questions about feeding the hummingbirds right now. A lot of things on the internet. Are they right? Are they wrong? Monica will let us know here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Got gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.